Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Come on. Let's go. Has he been good to anybody around here, huh? Has he been good to anybody around here, huh? Come on in here. Hey! Yes, sir! Come on, y'all, let's praise Black Friday. Let's get it! Hey! Come on. Guess we gotta go and start the show now. All right.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Take the limits off God. We are on the air right now, broadcasting as always from where? The birthplace of gospel music. That's why broadcasting from the south side of Chicago, the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it is your boy, your host. That's right, the one, the only, Dr. Dana L. King in the studio with you on today, man. I'm excited to be here on this Friday, this Praise Break Friday. It's the end of the week, y'all. It's Friday. Look here. It's Friday night. I didn't get paid because that ain't payday. They ain't doing payday work. But it's Friday, and we here. We made it another week. The second week of school has been complete. We're going to talk about some stuff in a minute. And I'm just glad to still be here COVID-free. I say that for a reason, COVID-free. But we're going to talk about that and some more stuff today. But, man, we got a great show for you today. I should have called my brother to come in with me today. But, again, last-minute thinking is what you end up with. We're going to do the article that we did not complete or even start on last week, seven characteristics of songs that preach. Seven characteristics of songs that preach. That's our topic of conversation for today. But, man, we got that and so much more. We're going to have a good time today in the spirit of the Lord in this place. We're going to have a great time. So y'all come on, sit on down and just get ready to watch and have a good time with us today. But, look, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. It might be your first time listening, first time watching, first time viewing. Let you in on how you can be a part of the show. If you're already listening on the line, all you got to do is push 1. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land on the other side of the glass, the one, the only, LaTanya Michelle King, taking all of your calls, emails, chats, all of the good things. That'll get you over to her. Then she'll get you over to me. You'll be live on the air with your boy on the TTLO radio show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number, 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. And once again, push 1, and that'll get you over to her. She's going to check you out, ask you a couple questions, make sure you stay full of the Holy Ghost and sanctified, or at least know Jesus just a little bit, because, you know, sometimes some of y'all get on the air and y'all want to say stuff like y'all 5. But, you know, this ain't that show. But anyway, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. You can be live on the air with your boy. If you're listening If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. That's right. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net if you want to email the show. If you want to follow us on social media, please feel free. Go ahead and tweet the show. Somebody, if y'all got Twitter right now, somebody go ahead and tweet the show. Tweet the show right now. It's the TTLO. The only tweet the show is TT at TTLO Radio. Say that real fast 100 times. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. Tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, follow us on Instagram. Real simple, real easy to do. Follow us on IG. Follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. That's right. Follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can follow us on Instagram. If you want to follow us on Facebook, that's right, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio, Facebook.com. That's where you can find us there. The live streams are up and running. That's right, the live streams are up and running, and y'all have already made y'all way into the room. Let me go ahead and sing my favorite verse. Come on in the room. Jesus is my doctor, and he writes out all my scripture, and he gives me all my medicine in the room. Come on, come on, y'all. Come on in, come on in, come on in, and say something once you get in the room, whether you are watching on Facebook Live right now. Come on, if you have not already done so, go ahead and hit that share button for your boy. Hit that share button. Let the people know that you're watching the TTL. Tell us, say, mama, that man, that bald head brother, you know, the good-looking one. Hey, I go, okay, if you ain't going to pat yourself on the back, who will? But the good-looking brother over there, he's on, mama, and he crazy. Come on, listen in and chime in. If you want to jump in on YouTube, we are live on the TTLO YouTube channel right now. Come on in, come on in. You can follow us there on YouTube right now. Hit that subscribe button, why don't you? What's going on? Let me speak to some people that have already chimed in. If you're watching on YouTube, type your name and let us know where you're watching from. Do us that favor for my YouTube listeners, because I don't know who y'all are unless y'all say something. So let me know where you are listening from. Those of you who are already in on Facebook, come on in. Let me know where you're listening from. I see some folk already spoke. What's going on? Malia Stewart, God bless you. Patricia Butts, God bless you. Elect Lady, God bless you. She came in dancing. I know that's right. And Sheldon Wilson, Bishop, Apostle, Grand Marshal. Sheldon Wilson, God bless you, sir. God bless you. It's good to see y'all in here. Y'all come on in and speak to me. Whoever else is in, watching, listening, wherever you might be watching or listening from, come on in and say something when you get here. Don't forget, too, we are an iHeartRadio partner, which means you can find us on your iHeartRadio app. When you find us on the iHeartRadio app, just do a simple search, rather, for the TTLO Media Group. And when you find the TTLO Media Group, not only will you find the TTLO Radio Show, but you'll also find Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. That's right, Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues, real solutions. Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. You'll also find my good brother, the pastor from the west side of Chicago. He's on the south side, but the pastor from the west side of Chicago, the good pastor Harold D. Washington. You can always check him out as well. Looking forward to the restart of the Kitchen Chronicles. I have to holler at him and see what's going on. The restart of the Kitchen Chronicles as well. What's going on, Sister Pitts? I see you. Good evening, good evening, good evening. That's right. Come on in. Y'all got some manners. I like folks with manners. Come in and speak to the people. But God bless you. God bless you. Y'all come on in with that. If you find, not only will you find that, the Kitchen Chronicles, but then on Sundays, you start your week off the right way. And what better way to start your week off than at the birthplace of gospel music? That's right. You can start your week off right here with the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the live simulcast. You can catch it right here on the TTLO Media Group Network, the live simulcast right here of the birthplace of gospel music, the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. You can catch that right here with Senior Pastor Daryl in person, right here at the birthplace of gospel music at 11 o'clock every Sunday. Look, we start on time, rain, sleet, or snow. We start on time right here at 11 a.m. Feel free to catch that. Always a good service. You get some good word, a good singing, and some good word over here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. You can also get, you can also catch my brother, the good pastor from the Faith Works and Vision Church. That's right. Say it with me. Faith Works and Vision Church from the west side of Chicago. Their service starts somewhere between 12:30, 12:45 up there somewhere. But you can always catch them on the TTLO Media Group Network with my good friend, Pastor Harold D. Washington. And let me tell y'all something. It's always a praise party over there at the FWV, the Faith Works and Vision Church. Amen, amen, amen. You know what's interesting? So I got this up on Facebook over here. Have you put up any graphics? Okay, thank you. All right, I want to make sure I wasn't all the way gone. All right, I saw the pre-show stuff, but I didn't see nothing else because I'm like, Facebook is like hiding your graphics, but they're not hiding your graphics. Thank you so much. But also, don't forget, too, we are at Spotify, iTunes, huh? Yes, I saw that. Yeah. I was talking about the church stuff and all that. Okay. So, yeah, I was iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can download the podcast, you can find us there. Amen. When you get a chance, move your fan. But, yeah, we are always looking forward to good. We are always looking forward to you guys hearing us that way. Man, how was your week? How was everybody's week? I finished. I survived the second week of school. Praise baby Jesus in swaddling clothes. I survived the second week of school. Can I say this? Let me make sure I got to start talking about the school like we talk about we on Bible study. I have to say the school universal. Because, you know, you be trying not to get no trouble. I don't need no 7:30 meetings, no 7:50 meetings down at the school. But I want to say this about school, period. I recognize that the way the remote learning, distance learning, Zoom learning, Microsoft Teams meeting, whatever, however the learning was going, I recognize it was not ideal. Got it? I do. I recognize it was not ideal. I recognize that because it had to be thrown together at the last minute and whatever, it was not ideal. I will say the plans got better towards the end. We did a little bit more to get some things going and to get more people involved. The kids got a little bit better, but yes, some kids still suffered. Let me say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I don't believe school should be open. I'm going to say it again. I don't believe schools should be open. Let me explain to you why. Because I know some people are going to be like, what you mean school shouldn't be open? Let me explain to you why. At my school, and I know they've been talking about this on the news, so let me give you what the news has been talking about with the schools and everything else. And I'm hoping I can find the latest in here, and I don't see it now. But there's 3,000. Huh?
3,000 kids.
3,000 kids have been infected or quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
It's one or the other. Infected and or quarantined since school started. CPS. Not Illinois. CPS, 3,000 children have been sent home either infected or quarantined. We've only been in school 2 weeks. Let me ask you this question. At my school, every day we're sending children home with symptoms. Every day. Since we've been open, we've been sending children home with symptoms every day. We've been open for 2 whole weeks. We've sent a kid home every day that we've been open. A parent or guardian has had to come to the school and retrieve their child from the care room. I don't believe schools should be fully, let me change my statement, should be fully open. I think schools should be open for children with IEPs. I think schools should be open for children with, you know, I know them numbers, 517, 503, 704, 255, whatever they got. I believe schools should be open for children with paraprofessionals. But I believe for the rest of the school, it should be in a hybrid format. Because are you really social distancing? Today was the first day our kids, because I'm in elementary school, so our children still go out for recess. So they have the lunches and recesses divided up. So the fifth graders go to lunch together. Used to be fifth and sixth would go together, but now fifth. So somebody's in the dining room, and then the other people are eating in their classroom. So this week, fifth graders are eating in their classroom. Sixth graders are eating in the lunchroom. For recess, sixth graders go outside for recess. They're in the north parking lot, and then the fifth graders were in the playground, and then you alternate. That's what we're supposed to alternate. In the lunchroom, my fifth grade class is separated from the other fifth grade class. They're sitting on one side of the lunchroom with their students. We're sitting on our side of the dining room with our students. But for recess, we're in the same space. Now, you're telling children not to touch. What do you think they did?
Don't touch. They're going to be all Marianne.
Right. So I'm telling you right now, we already had a no share your lunch policy, right? Whatever you bring from home, don't share your lunch. Now, we in the classroom. Kids still passing out chips. Let me get some chips. Let me get some of them Takis. Let me get some of this. Let me get some of that. The kids are still doing what they do because at the end of the day, what are we going to do, lock them in their chair? Bring them in, put them in a bubble, and lock them in the bubble in each chair. We're going to get plexiglass put around each desk and say and then we got these paths in the classroom to walk to your desk. This is the way you walk to your desk. This is the way you walk from your desk. Don't walk near these other desks because that's not your path. I'm sorry. None of this is working. I don't believe we should be in the building right now and in full capacity. Here we go. Sister Pat. My niece had to quarantine because a child in her class was infected. Her brother had to also quarantine because he has health concerns. And the two grades use the same entrance, have the same lunch period, et cetera. P.S. is 504. Thank you very much. I don't be doing them numbers. Y'all be throwing.
He say 503.
Y'all be throwing out area codes and stuff. I don't know what y'all doing. 511, PS5. I don't know what y'all saying. I don't get it. I mean, I get it. And I know it's about, I would love to know the details of, was money going to be withheld from schools that did not have children in the building? How much money was going to be held back from schools that didn't have children? Are kids back in the building? Now, I recognize, don't get me wrong, because some of my students that I had last year, I have again this year, because we do five, six. And I could tell that some of those kids that did not do well on Zoom are doing well because they're in person in the classroom. But you could easily have looked at the grades and said, okay, your child suffered. We could tell your child suffered being at home. You have the option to send your child. Because I don't know. And here's the other side of this. And I know we're going to have First Lady Pam back on again to talk about the new variants and the variant and the variant of the variant. And, yeah, all of that kind of stuff.
The new variant, Moo.
You a cow now? What?
You know they're naming them after the Greek letters.
Oh, like Mu, M-U.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
New variant.
Oh, so Delta. Case. Did we get the Omega? Yeah.
No, don't be asking for something.
Did we get the, we didn't get the Alpha? They're not going in order?
They're not going in order.
Oh, so they just throwing them out there. I bet you the Sigma going to be like, it ain't going to be strong. pinch. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway.
You're so silly.
So wait. I really don't think we should be in the building. That's just me. And it's not about me not wanting to be in the building. I just don't think it's safe. This is what I recognize. And I don't think, and maybe this has been talked about and maybe I just missed it. So from the time I get out my car, from the time I walk in the building, because I'm not wearing my mask walking to the building. That just ain't happening. But from the time I get in the building, let's just say, 7:30. We wish. Let's just say 7:30. From 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. I believe that's about 7 hours. Let me ask you a question. Outside of a 20-minute lunch break, you are behind a mask for more than 7 hours. The children are there longer than that because I'm out the door at a certain time. Way my contract set up, I got to go. So I'm out the door at a certain time. We are not built to walk around with masks on for 6, 7, 8 hours at a time. We're just not built that way. I know they had to do it in China. They've been doing it in China. God bless them in China. It is, you can't tell me, and I'm not anti-mask. Don't say that. Don't call me with the, I'm not anti-mask. I'm not anti-vaccine, even though I got mine late. We're going to talk about that too, because I got an issue with Joe Biden's new deal. I got an issue with Biden and his situation. But I just don't believe we should be wearing masks all day indoors. I know why we have to. I'm just saying you can't tell me having this thing on, right? Think about doctors who do surgeries. They're in surgery for an hour, maybe two. Now, if it's heart surgery, that may be 3, 4 hours. You know, if they, you know, doing some kidney transplant or something, that may be, 3, 4 hours, 5. That's a long time. But now you're in a mask all day. And doctors double mask up when they go into surgery. But you're in a mask all day. And I know they got all these different devices now, these new masks, the shields, so that you can breathe a little bit better. But I'm sorry. And for an adult, I'm saying this as an adult, what do you think the child is feeling? I'll be so glad when words like mask up are no longer said again. Mask up. Cover your nose. Pull the mask up over your nose, please. Pull the mask up over your nose, please. Can you please pull the mask up over your nose? Can you pull the mask up over your nose? Mask up, please. Now we got mask champions because we got to try to figure out a way to incentivize wearing your mask. Now we got mask champions. I am so over all of this at this point. I don't know what to do. It just boggles my. I don't know. Maybe y'all might think, I don't know. I know a lot of a great deal of kids did suffer. I'm saying you open the door for those who absolutely need it. Again, the IEP children, the OFO, the PS5 kids, ABC 1-3 kids, and maybe even the primary grades, like kindergarten and first. What's considered primary? Kindergarten, first, second, third?
Or I thought it was K to three.
K to three. Four is what? Four and five is what? Because 5, 6, 7, 8 is middle school. So it must be K through four. Okay. So unless four just
we'll
sitting
ask,
out there.
We'll ask Pat.
Ask some, right. Somebody answer that for me. Let a brother know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, literally every day. And I'm not saying one kid every day has been sent home. I'm saying multiple children have been sent home from my school every day this week. I personally sent two home today. Tanya, your friend, I had to send him home. Don't say his name, but I had to send him home. That was trying to tie his shoe and say, what you looking at me for? I had to send him home today.
I'm worried about my other friend.
Which one? Primary is generally K through 3. Okay. Oh, I don't know who that is.
Cuervo.
Oh, yeah, he's been out. He's there. He's been there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been all right so far. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I just don't, you know, we're sending kids home every day sick. And then watch this. God forbid they're sick and they take it home to somebody in the house. Because we don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. So we'll go from there. All right. I want to move on. You feel free to chime in with your comments or call in. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. I want to go a step further. Since we were talking about the schools being open and what's being done, you know, for people with the vaccinated people. So yesterday, President Biden put out, and I know y'all are like, wait a minute, is he just talking about news today? No, y'all know how I do. I got to talk about, you know, I talk about some stuff. President Biden put out a mandate that all employers should mandate that all of their employees get vaccinated. Right now, there's still some 80 million people who still are not vaccinated. So here we go. Let me see this. Let me just read you a little bit of this. It says Biden mandated the vaccination. Let me give you what he says. On Thursday, Joe Biden imposed stringent new vaccine rules on federal employees, workers, that's CNN commercial, workers, large employers, and healthcare staff in a sweeping attempt to contain the latest surge of COVID-19. The new requirements could apply to as many as 100 million Americans, close to two-thirds of the American workforce, and amount to Biden's strongest push yet to require vaccines for much of the country. He says, we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost us all. Biden said, his tone hardening toward Americans who still refuse to receive a vaccine despite ample evidence of their safety and full approval of one, the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine, which has been fully approved. He said, vaccinated America was growing frustrated with the 80 million people who have not received shots and are fueling the spread of the virus. And he acknowledged the new steps would not provide a quick fix. But during the, while America's in much better shape than it was 7 months ago when I took office, I need to tell you the second fact. We're in a tough stretch and it could last for a while, Biden said in an early evening speech from the White House. Let me get down to the nitty gritty of this. U.S. postal workers, he said, okay, here we go. At the center of Biden's new plan is directing the Labor Department to require all businesses with 100 or more employees ensure their workers are either vaccinated or tested once a week. An expansive step that the president took after consultation with the administration, health officials, and lawyers. Companies could face thousands of dollars in fines per employee if they don't comply. U.S. postal workers would fall under that rule, a senior administration official told CNN. An employee will be required to be vaccinated or face mandatory weekly testing. The Postal Service has quasi-independent agency, employs more than 640,000 people. Biden also signed an executive order requiring all government employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19 with no option of being regularly tested to opt out. The president signed an accompanying order directing the same standard be applied to employees and contractors who do business with the federal government. He said 300,000 educators in federal Head Start programs must be vaccinated and called on governors to require vaccination for school teachers and staff, i.e. like what Governor Pritzker has done here in Illinois. Here is the situation. I don't know how I feel about forcing people to take a vaccination. I feel some kind of way. And I know this is going to make some Republican people like say, what? What did you just say? I feel some kind of way with Biden telling people that they have to be vaccinated. I understand the testing. And as long as the tests are free, I'm down with it. I understand the testing. But you cannot force somebody to take a vaccine. I don't know. I feel some kind of way, especially private companies. Now, you work for the federal government. If that's the law, that's the law, whatever. But if I'm a private business owner who has 100 employees, let me say it like this. I don't believe I can speak things into existence, so let me not talk like that. But let's just say TTLO Media Group, Tanya, had 102 employees working for TTLO Media Group across the country. See how I just said that? Ah, watch out. And because of this law, it states that our employees would have to either be vaccinated or tested once a week. I don't know that I would enforce that law. And I say this because you're messing down a slippery slope when you start telling people they have to put something in their body. Now, I know some people are just not taking it because they just don't want to take it. It's not a religious thing. Now, if you're worried about it, then do your research and then make your decision. I took my time getting my vaccine. I think I was probably the last person in this church to get the vaccination. Probably. Because other people that got vaccinated with me that day, don't go here. But I was the last person probably here at the church that I know of to get vaccinated. And I took my time. I read, I researched, and as I said on the show before, every time I got ready or thought about getting ready to get vaccinated, something new would happen with one of the vaccines. If somebody's heart pressure, blood pressure was going up, you had a stroke or two here, you had some weird stuff going on. So I chose for a long time not to take the vaccine. All right. Let's keep it going. Now you're saying you have to take the vaccine. There is a country, and I may be saying this to the extreme, but there is a country at one point in this world that said, and let me pull it up. I can get the right time frame so y'all can remember what I'm talking about. At one point, China had a two-child policy. Y'all remember that? They were so overcrowded that they said they were going to enact a two-child policy, meaning you could only have two children. They said they were so overcrowded. 1994. That's what it says, I believe. 1994. They were so overcrowded in China that they were telling women that they could only have two children. Now, in June of this year, China says it will allow, listen to the words, it will allow couples to have three children up from two. three children up from two. I brought this up for this purpose. That's a slippery slope when you're going to demand that people take a vaccine. Because if you pass a law that says, I have to take a vaccine, then what's to stop you from passing a law saying, women, you can now only have two children? We've done the research, and the math says, based off of global warming and blah, 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 you now can only have two children. I don't know. What y'all got for me? Bueller. I just don't agree. I don't agree with this at all. I just don't. I understand the severity of the need for you about to say something? Oh, I understand the need and the severity of why we need for people to take this vaccine. I understand the purpose. I understand how serious it is. At the same time, what I cannot understand is why we're going to try and force people to take a vaccine. Why are we going to try to force people to take a vaccine? It's a very, very slippery slope. Very, very slippery slope. And I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not anti-mask. I'm not anti any of that. I believe you ought to wear a mask if that's going to help, you know, if that's going to help mitigate the spread. I'm all for it. If you want to mandate people wearing masks indoors and doing that to stop the spread, I get that. But what I am not, and I'll say this again, and y'all might feel a certain kind of way, but how many of you all, if they show up at the door talking about we're here to give you the shot, and you got to take the shot. That's a problem for me. That's a huge problem. Yvonne Renee Fowler says, too much. Hold on. I just lost your comment. Where did it go? The government on my stuff. Okay. It says, Bernice Johnson says, either be tested, get the vaccine, or work by yourself. Having babies does not affect your life. Okay. I'm going to come back to that. Yvonne says, too much trying to control the people. This president is just like Donald Trump. He just wants to be known as the president who healed the world, but he is – oh, I get what you're saying. He just wants to be known as the president who healed the world, but he is wrong. I'm going to say it again. There is no space. That's why I brought up the China telling people that they can only have two kids. Y'all remember this? When China tell people you can only have two kids, that's overreach. Look, if you, whatever you can afford to take care of, you keep popping them out, even though I think some of y'all are extra. But y'all keep popping them out. However many you can afford to take care of, go right ahead. But that I use that analogy because if a government can get away with telling people that they can only have two babies, then the same government who turns around and says, you got to take this vaccine, you got to take it. I don't know. That seemed a little extra to me. You doing a little bit. You stretching some stuff out now, because now you're again. I you know, like I said, my hesitancy. I explained it to you all. I explained to you why I was hesitant. All of those things, and people need to be able to make up their own minds. Now I understand the thing. Now Tanya, help me out. So help me out with the baby vaccine. I ain't talking about for COVID. I'm talking about the regular vaccinations for chickenpox and all of that kind of stuff. There is a rule, and I guess I'd have to look it up, but there is a rule about your kids going to school. If your kids go to school, they have to be vaccinated, correct? Don't your kids have to be vaccinated to go to school, like to go to elementary school, public school, and all that kind of stuff?
But you have people who don't get vaccinated.
Their kids don't get shots.
Right.
Right, and they say for whatever religious reasons.
You know, some of them don't believe in them.
They don't believe in getting the shots for the mumps and the chicken pox and all that kind of stuff.
Like, how do they get past that?
They get by with the it's like it's a religious exemption, I'm assuming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Now, I believe you might be putting your child in danger or whatever. That's you and your kid. But as an adult, I can't see somebody forcing me. She said, not real because of religious reasons. Not really because of religious reasons. I just don't believe you can force people to take a vaccine. What's your, you got some thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's your choice at this point. Because you have some people like, what's her name? From what's that show? The Nerd Show? Maya, she was one of the hosts for Jeopardy.
From the Big Bang Theory. The real smart girl. She's like a real scientist.
She's real smart.
She's a brain.
But her family did not get that. She doesn't believe in vaccinations, but they did get the COVID shot. That was one thing.
Oh, she doesn't believe in the vaccines for the booster shots for children.
Right.
But she did get a COVID shot.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'll say, so what Pat says, telling people how many children to have is overreaching. The fact that we're in a pandemic and public health is in danger, I feel is reasonable. There is legal precedent. What's the legal precedent? Help me out with that one. Perel says, I dreamed that the government bust my door down to enforce getting the vaccine a few months back. Guns drawn. It shook me for 3 days. Wow. Oh, hey, what's up? I'm going to get her name right because I can ask. You know why I can't say her name? Because I can't picture it. But I see it now.
Okay.
Porral.
There you go.
Because I'd be calling the child Portland. And
No.
Pork lean. You know, no. I don't mean that. I'm saying I just don't. Again, and I know this is going against, you know, all my Democratic buddies. Y'all be all right. I just don't agree. I cannot be. And again, I made up my own mind when I decided. I made up my own mind. Yeah, those people trying to, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you get this shot? Get this shot. I had somebody sitting right here, the first lady of the church, who was a whole for real nurse and all that kind of stuff, trying to tell me, you know, whatever. I had somebody tell me they was going to bring a needle and hold me down. I told them I shoot people, and they left me alone. I just don't understand how we can be. I just tell you like this. If this is allowed to stand, don't be surprised. Watch this now. We have a Democratic president right now, right? I'm going to get off this political stuff because y'all know this ain't what we do on here. But we have a Democratic president and a Democratic House and a partially almost a half a piece of majority Senate right now. What happens when it's all the other way and they pass an edict or a message from on high saying you must do this and there is precedent? Then what are we going to do? We going to all say, oh, we finna fight. Now we finna march. I'm sorry. I can't go. I can't go with Joe on this. I can't go with Joe. Oh, Joe. No, I can't go with Joe. I can't go with Joe on this one. I can't go. But you say you just say you good with you good. You still cool with it just being a choice.
It's your choice. I mean, you should. I mean, I would love to, like, I would want to know from Jesse Jackson's wife, like, you know, why she didn't take the vaccine.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And, you know, but it's definitely your choice.
Like, I wonder how many people have gotten sick. This is the question I would ask if I could talk to somebody who got sick, survived, and still won't take the vaccine. I would love to talk to that person or those people. Because I'm sure there have been some. We probably don't hear those because we don't want to publicize them, because then it's going to make people say they survived, right? But I'm sure there have been some people that have gotten sick, fully sick, gotten better, and probably did not take the shot after the fact that they've gotten better. Now, we know there's quite a few who said they weren't going to take it, got sick, and was like, oh, now we see them on breathing machines saying, please take the shot. You don't want to be like this. I get that too. But it's still their choice. It's still the choice. Now, some people are saying, if you choose not to take the shot and then you get sick, don't come to the hospital looking for no treatment.
I mean, at the end, it's still.
It's like smoking cigarettes for me. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And I guess maybe because cigarettes is the easy one. Everybody knows what cigarettes do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no argument, there's no debate. It's been proven what nicotine does to your lungs, your mouth, your teeth, your heart. It's been I think there's little to no dispute anymore about what cigarettes do. But yet people still light up every day. And these people light up every day. And when they get sick, they can still go to the doctor and get cancer treatments or whatever they need to do for their emphysema, lung disease, whatever they have. They can still go get treatments because we live in a country that says, if I'm sick, I can go to the doctor. It don't matter how I got sick. I think it's an extreme to tell people that they can't, because you didn't take the vaccine and now you're sick, you don't get to come to the hospital. Because some people are saying that. I've seen those extra people. I call them slow and stupid. But telling people that if you get sick and because you didn't take the vaccine, you don't, it's okay. I'll use it like, go ahead.
I don't know. It's just, we're fighting with so much. This is a choice.
It's a choice
to take the vaccine.
It is a choice.
And everything else.
Stupid, bad choice or not, it's still a choice.
Like, let's just say what if.
What if?
You know, what if you did not get.
What if I didn't take it and I had got sick?
No, or what if you had taken it and what if you had not taken it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you got sick. What would you be saying then?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a fair question, but I honestly don't know.
And then, you know, because, you know, you're around people who have health concerns.
True.
And you're around an older population and everything else. Like,
true.
Like, you were balleting around here and everything. So, like,
balleting.
Yes. You a pirouette and all of that.
Balleting.
Yes.
Okay,
like,
go
ahead. Out of our unit, only one person still does not have the vaccine, and that's Jalen, and he hasn't gotten sick yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised. He may have to take it now because he is is Lincoln a public college?
Yeah, but they're not mandating that the kids. They just say, you know, wear your mask.
He's an employee, though. That's what I'm saying. He may end up having
to. Oh, he may.
Patricia said, there are cases noted in the early 20th century, 1920s, where governments mandated the smallpox vaccine after the smallpox epidemic. I'm not in favor of government controlling our body, but why my computer just cut off? But I am in favor of measures to protect the public. Smallpox was eradicated through the vaccination. I get that. And I totally can understand that point.
I mean, I know you wasn't going to get political and everything, or you're going to get off this political subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if we let this ride,
what else going to come down the pipe?
Well, we almost in Texas, we letting this whole 6 weeks and you can't, you know,
that's
abortion,
in Texas,
you know,
and other governors are going to try too.
You know, we are fighting for our lives right now.
Yeah. I don't know that mandating it is going to. All you're going to do is, and for Joe Biden and the rest of the crew, and I'm going to get off this right now, but for the rest of them, you're giving them a rallying cry when it comes time for election day. You know, yes, the world will probably be in a better place in when is the election? 2024? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be in a better place in 2023 when it's time for the election, I hope. But yeah, you're giving the rallying cry that, you know, this happening, you're trying to, you know, the people, they already have this whole thing about you. They're coming to take our guns. Now they're coming to put needles in our arms, you know. So remember they said Barack Obama was going to kill all the people in the nursing home with his Medicare policies, like with the medication. He was going to kill all the old people. Like he was coming, they was going to put all the old people, going to get put out. They weren't going to be able to go to the doctor no more. So, you know, so the story is only going to get pushed and told in a horrific type of way. All right, we going to move on, y'all, because it is, huh? It is Praise Break Friday. And y'all know how we do on Praise Break Friday. We gets it in. And I was jamming earlier to my sister's song, LaNasia Tyson, on this here, Dead of Praise, different album. I was getting it in with that He's Been Good to Me, because that's a good Praise Break party right there. That's a good one here. But I'm going to give y'all some of the other. We ain't had a Praise Party in a while. So let's go, shall we? Be right back, y'all, in a hot minute. Come on, Nasia. Sing that thing. I feel like I got some bars on here, though.
This right here. Not for you right now.
I can get some bars right here. I got bars. I feel it. Huh?
Hey, let me tell you what to do when the devil starts
running. I just thought about it. I do got the instrumental for this because she sent me her track. I'm going to drop some bars to it.
You gotta let the devil know.
Put these CLO.
God is in control.
Put that flow in the dope. You know.
Lift your hands.
Let's go.
Hey. Let's go. Let's count. Let's praise. Let's praise. All fall short, we do. But you can't let the devil win. Thinking God won't forgive your sin. Cause it's the devil and he will flee. And then begin to claim the victory. Your best weapon is your worship and praise. Follow me and lift your hands and let it play.
Yes, sir. That's that Praise Party by my little sister, the one, the only LaNasia Tyson. Y'all know that single that comes off of her last EP release, Dare to Praise Different. Come on, huh? I could have dropped some bars right there, but, you know, when you're around, you know, people that don't want you to be great.
You could.
Well, did you? I missed it. When did you say that?
Just now.
On the mic.
Is my mic on?
Your mic sounds nice. It's on now. Well, no, I mean, it was probably
you could drop some bars.
I could drop some bars?
Yeah.
Cause you, okay, okay. All right.
You know what?
Here we go.
You know, because you was all on this vaccine thing. You uh-huh. should tell people all the good news that's out here.
What good news?
Like the fact that, you know,
you tell
in
me.
Bowling,
oh.
you're number one.
Oh, me?
Not me. y'all can pray for my hand.
I wasn't going to talk about bowling yet because I didn't want to jinx it.
Oh,
not that I believe in
okay.
jinxing and stuff like that.
Okay.
But the fact that our team is in first place after 3 weeks, I wasn't going to say nothing. You know, the fact that, you know, I got the highest average on my team, I wasn't going to say nothing.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, keep it because, you know, then I'm going to come back next week and be like, let me tell you what happened on Saturday.
No, and then also you need prayer.
What I need prayer for?
Because they took all your pins away.
Yeah, they took all my handicap away from anybody know anything about bowling. They took all my I had a whole lot of handicap up there. Like, I was like, you know, one of Jerry's kids. That's how much handicap I had. Pray for me.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But, so now I got a bowl. I got to show up now. But I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm excited about Saturday, actually. I'm excited. Oh, Sunday too. Let me say, let me say. Hey, y'all go out. If y'all are in the Chicagoland area on Saturday, make your way to Forest Park, right? Make your way to Forest Park. Why are you making your way to Forest Park? My brother, the good Kevin Page and the crew, he has this amazing grill company called You Chill, We Grill. They are going to be in the Rib Fest, Forest Park Rib Fest, this coming Saturday. Starts at 11 o'clock. It goes from 10 to 10. That's what the most recent flyer I saw said.
Oh, okay.
It goes from 10 to 10. They are going to be out there. They won the entire thing last year, best rib, best, you know, whatever, last year. And they are going to be out there again this year. So I am going out there to try to support them before I go to the bowling alley on Saturday. So y'all need to come on. If y'all are in the Chicagoland area, you want to come out, have a good time, come on and check out the Forest Park Rib Fest. They ain't paying me to say this, but I'm going to send y'all out there anyway. But the Forest Park Rib Fest, check out my brother, You Chill Re-Grill. That's the name of his company. They're going to be at, let me see, where is it? Because he put it up here earlier.
7824.
Where does it say? It says they're going to be at Plot 18, Spot 18 on the, out on the, when you go out there. Yeah, Spot 18. That's where they're going to be at. Spot 18. So y'all come on out.
I'm looking at the flyer. It says 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay, but the other one says at the Grove, 7824, 10 to 10.
Okay.
That's the one that's on the top of his page. But she says check them out there in tent number 18. So check them out. Look, they cook for real, y'all. They cook for real. y'all can check them out.
They're going to have loaded baked potatoes, nachos.
Yeah, the food list
hot dogs.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, the food list is.
The top three rivers receive the cash prize.
Yeah, the food list is, can I say scrum delicious? Is that a whole word that I just made
up?
Oh, well, excuse me for, you know, changing it up. You know, I thought scrum delicious had a ring to it. But yeah, they got all types of stuff. They got loaded baked potato, nachos, popcorn, hot dogs, hamburgers, hot pretzels, snow cones, desserts.
No.
Roasted corn on the cob and so much more. They got a group out there, Caliente, Latin Soul, Pop, The Moods, Everett Dean, and The Lonesome Hearts, and then the Modern Day Romeos. I don't know none of these people. But they're going to be out there, and y'all should come hang out. Now, it says the fest is open from 11 to 11 on this thing, but on the other one, it's 8 10 to 10. Show up after 11 o'clock. You'll be all right. But come out and support my boys, Kevin Page and them. You Chill, We Grill, man. It's going to be a good time. All right, y'all. We got this really good article, and we want to talk about tonight. Y'all know on Fridays is always praise and worship for me. It's always Praise and Worship for me, period. But it's always on Fridays. Our shows are always, unless there's some major event or we have a guest or something, our shows are always geared towards the celebration of praise and worship and all that praise and worship means and all that can be done from it. And it's only so that we can recognize what we can do and how we can become what? Better praisers. How we can become better praisers. So the writer said the article is called Seven Characteristics of Songs That Preach. Seven Characteristics of Songs That Preach. The writer is David Manner. David Manner is his name. The writer is David Manner. David serves as the Associate Executive Director for Kansas-Nebraska Convention of Southern Baptists with responsibilities in the areas of worship, leadership, and administration. Worship, leadership, and administration. So he's been doing that for some time, and we are going to jump into this. The writer says, again, seven characteristics of songs that preach. The writer says, preaching is the act of publicly proclaiming, teaching, or making something known. It exhorts, exposits, affirms, corrects, advocates, instructs, responds, and applies. The act of preaching communicates to us, for us, and through us. A sermon is preached to address and expound on the biblical, theological, doctrinal, and moral issues that impact every generation of every congregation each and every day. And this connectional discourse is intended to challenge those congregants not only to embrace these truths individually, but also corporately. So if the worship songs we select aren't complementing, resonating, and emulating these same characteristics, we probably need to select different songs. In other words, we need songs that preach. All right, y'all ready? Here we go. Songs that preach. Seven characteristics of songs that preach. If you haven't already hit the share button, please do so. Please do so. Please do so. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. And also you can share as well. Thank you so much for those of you watching on YouTube. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, let me know where you're watching from. Put something in the chat. Let us know where you're watching from. Number one says, our songs must reflect and respond to biblical text. Our songs must reflect and respond to biblical text. The writer says this, scripture must organically yield our songs instead of just fertilizing our own contrived language. We must constantly ask if our song text is theologically sound and if it affirms scripture as central. Songs that do not provoke a response to the word don't preach. Oh, can I say that again? Songs that do not provoke a response to the word don't preach. Can we talk? Our songs should have the same impact that the word does when it is read or when it is preached. And if it does not, then there is a problem. That's why just because you put Jesus in a song don't make it gospel. I ain't gonna get no help. Just because you put Jesus in the song, I want to let y'all know, alert, alert, alert. Just because you put him in the song does not make it a gospel song. The context in which you're using said song does not make it a gospel song. We have to be careful that our songs reflect what we believe, that our songs that we choose in the church, that we choose to present to the people, reflect what we believe. That's why, you know, that's why with hymns, so hymns, a lot of hymns were literally scripture taken from the Bible. That's why nobody ever really questions a hymn, because so many of them are biblically and scripturally based. It's hard to question a hymn. It's hard to question when someone says, great is thy faithfulness. Huh? Come on. That's right out the Bible. It's kind of hard when they start singing Amazing Grace in the church. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on now. Huh? When they sing, I once was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That comes, all those songs come straight from Scripture. When they sing songs like God's, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Well, the Bible did say, for I am the Lord, I change not. Come on now, straight out of Scripture. That's a T-shirt, straight out of Scripture. I think I've seen those, though. But you got to have songs. You got to have songs that reflect and respond to biblical text. Number two, we're moving. Number two says, our songs must connect the word of God to the people of God. Uh-oh. Our songs must connect the word of God to the people of God. The writer says, the dialogue of worship through our songs is formed when God's word is revealed. This revelation causes the people of God to respond through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The result is a vertical conversation with God and horizontal communion with others. Our songs are the communally uttered words of God. Watch this. Let me go back. The result is a vertical conversation with God and a horizontal communion with others. We worship upward. We commune horizontally. Come on now. So if the word, the writer says, our songs must connect the word of God to the people of God. You want to sing songs that's going to do what? Direct people to the person you're singing about. Can I go somewhere? And y'all know sometimes my illustrations take us somewhere. Y'all pray for me with this one. But you know, when Marvin Gaye said, when I get that feeling, I want sexual healing, huh? Y'all ain't gonna help me. That, you know, when Marvin Gaye said, when he said that line, come on now, it took you somewhere, right? Certain music takes you somewhere. Right? When Marvin said helps to relieve my mind. Come on now. You know, I mean, it's one of those, the music directs you to a place. Right? When Teddy Pendergrass would say, close the door, let me give you what you've been waiting for, huh? It takes you to a place. Gospel music, the right praise and worship song, should take you to a place. I know y'all say, wow, did you really just go there? Yes, I did. Because I've said this to y'all before, worship is intimacy with God. That's going to go over somebody's head. But worship is intimacy with God. Worship is intimacy with God, and it's intimacy on a level that only you and God can get to. It's intimacy on a level that only you and God will understand. I wish y'all would get this. I really do. I wish y'all would get this. It's on a level that only you and God will understand. And when you worship God on a level like that, when you worship God on a level where it becomes intimate, right? It's look at that. It could be because now it goes beyond singing. Now it goes to a place where we ain't just talking about it now. I can't get no help. We ain't just talking about it now. We're at a place now where God wants to use us in a mighty way. And the only way we're going to get there is with pure, authentic worship, with songs that lead people directly back to Him. With songs that lead people, again, directly back to Him. And we should be excited with the opportunity to do just that. excited with the opportunity that our worship, that our songs will lead people back to him. We should be excited about that. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number three. Again, we're talking about seven characteristics of songs that preach. Number three says, our songs must speak the gospel. Our songs must speak the gospel. The writer says this, every song we sing must invite the congregation and the guest to be a part of God's story through Jesus Christ. Our songs should help us understand what God is up to and in and through our lives in the name of Jesus. Those songs must sing of the ongoing and enduring work of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And they must constantly remind us that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. This is why certain music, certain forms, certain things that would fall under gospel genre, when I listen to the words and I can get past the music and the medley or the melody, I often wonder, is this song really trying to direct people back to God, or are you just trying to get me to nod my head? Huh? If we're trying to get people not to be attracted to us and our singing and our gift, but we're trying to get people attracted to him, then shouldn't what we sing about speak about the very gospel that we preach about? Shouldn't what we sing about push people in that direction? Because all the other songs that we sing, it pushed you in that direction. When they was singing Pastor Cavassier, I don't hear nobody. Huh? When he who shall not be named said, my mind's tough, you know him. It took you to a place. It spoke what he wanted you to know about. Well, if we in church and we singing songs, those songs should only go in one direction. They should only want to tell you about one direction. I wish I had some help. They should only want to tell you about how can I have a better relationship with God? How can I have a better relationship with my Lord and Savior? How can I have it? What do I need to do? How can we be closer? Because I believe the good Bishop Lionel Richie said, just to be close to.
Please stop.
What? Pat says, Quincy Jones said, what good is a song if it can't inspire? Come on. Come on, that's good. That's good. That's good. What good is it if it don't inspire? What's the purpose if you're not trying to push people somewhere? Yes, we want you to celebrate. Yes, we want you to pray. We want you to lift your hands, but not for me, for him. Let me move on. Number four. Again, we're talking about seven characteristics of songs that preach. She got me thinking about Quincy Jones. I'm about to use him as an analogy in a minute. I got one ready too. I'm ready. Let me see what this says. See if I can use it. Number four says, our songs must be easy to follow and understand. Well, the writer says, if congregants can't follow our songs, then they have difficulty finding value in those songs and consequently can't be influenced and moved to respond to them and through them. Archaic or colloquial text should be filtered with melodies, filtered, and melodies should be evaluated for singability. Songs that are difficult to follow contribute to ineffectual song sermons. I know we want to be very theological. We want to show our biblical prowess, but every song cannot be a theological dissertation. Neither should your sermon be. But the song should be easy to follow and understand. There should be no doubt in the song. Like you know, with rappers. Rappers, you know, when they're doing ciphers and stuff like that, they purposely use words to make you think about what they said and have you figure out, like, oh my God, that's what he meant when he said that. That's what he meant. That's never how a gospel song is intended to be. When Barry White said on the Quincy Jones album, "Tell me a secret. I don't want to know about one any secret. I want to know about one special secret." You knew what Barry was talking about. When he said, "I want to know all the secrets in your garden," you knew what he was talking about, huh? Don't shake your head. You knew what he was talking about, huh? When Bishop L. Devine said, "I want to be with you. Let me lay beside you. Do what you want me to." You knew what he was talking about. It wasn't no doubt. So the songs that we sing on Sunday, they ought to be just as clear, if not clearer. I said what I said. What's the problem? When Whitney used to say, "I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied every groan," we knew what she was talking about. I used her version, not the Dr. Watt version, but we knew what she was talking about. Really, 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 Walter Jones? I'm just saying. We knew exactly what they were talking about. Our music should not be overly complicated that the congregation cannot follow. That's why I love what the brother Todd Delaney did with his with some of his releases, where he literally just took scripture. He literally just took scripture and put it to music. One of his lyrics says something about, "Around the throne of the Lord, I hear the elders sing. At the feet of the king is the constant offering." You know, round the that's literally from the book of Revelations. Just put to some amazing music. You can't, again, what does it do? It leads you back to him. You want the congregation to be able to follow along. Let's keep going. Number five, we almost done. Number five. Uh-oh. Our songs, again, we're talking about seven characteristics of songs that preach. Our songs must be sung with integrity. Our songs must be sung with integrity. The writer says this: songs that preach, communicate biblically, theologically, and doctrinally. Our songs must be sung with the integrity of adequate external preparation that springs forth from an internal conviction. It must be evident that our songs reflect what we believe and practice. Lives must replicate the text we sing, even when we aren't singing them. Uh-oh. Songs sung with integrity engage and express biblical text with inspiration and conviction. Songs with integrity engage and express biblical text with inspiration and conviction. When we hear certain gospel artists or certain preachers who can sing, certain people who sing a song and you believe that they, you know, they're singing the song in a way that you believe they have lived that song, that they have been at that very point, and they've been on the edge, and that they lived that where they are, and they live that song right now, and they're singing it at a pace and at a space and in a space that draws us into their story. And their story leads us right back to his story. That's a song sung with integrity. Y'all know y'all think I'm being funny, but y'all know y'all seen them videos of R&B singers when Marvin Gaye was biting his lip saying let's get it on. Y'all believe if Marvin, look here, if Marvin would have said here's my address, y'all would have showed up. Because you believed what he said. Yvonne Renee Fowler says, our song's not to be sung in a well-dressed code that the Lord will approve. Learn to, okay, wait a minute. Our songs should not be sung. I think I know what she's saying. Our songs not to be sung in well-dressed code that the Lord will approve. Learn to dress appropriately when worship. That's a conversation for another day, Yvonne, but I appreciate it because, your attire should not distract from the worship. Let me say that. Your attire should not distract from the worship. What do you mean attire? I'm going to start this off in a different way because normally we start off with what the women be wearing. I'm going to start off with the fellas and then work my way back to the women's. Women's. I'm going to work my way back to the women. Fellas, you singing praise and worship. The people in the front row and the second and the third and the fifth and the ninth row should not know what only your mama and your wife or girlfriend know. That's all I'm going to say. They should not be able to see how blessed or lack of blessed you are. They should not have an idea. They should not have an idea because you decided to have a great jogging pants moment in the pulpit. We should not know all your business because your pants are that tight, sir. We should not know. It's just not necessary that your pants be that tight. Ladies, your bosoms. Sound like my great-grandmama. Your bosoms should not be so exposed that when you telling people to leap for joy, we waiting on you to leap first. Your skirt should not be so short that it's, you know, that the deacon can't sing the song because he can't concentrate or the cameraman done got confused. Or your dress should not be so see-through that when you walk past, when the spotlight hits you, we know your birth certificate and your blood type. I'm trying to help the people. You don't want to distract. Thank you for that, Sister Fowler. You don't want to distract. You do not want to distract. I appreciate that. But again, we're talking about seven characteristics of songs that preach. You need to sing the song. We should believe that you believe what you're singing. Just like we want to believe the preacher is preaching and living what he's preaching, we want to have the same thought about the singer, the soloist, the praise and worship leader, whoever you are. And that's why I say this all the time. There is a difference between singing praise and worship and leading praise and worship. When you're leading praise and worship, then you're leading. You're leading us to a place. You want to paint a picture that shows us this God you're singing about. Because there might be somebody in the audience physically, or somebody watching remotely, that does not know, or might not be sure. So the picture you paint, the words you say, the way you look, all of those things should be helping someone. You should be pointing someone in the right direction. Come on, y'all. Help me, help me, help me. Number six. Our songs must engage more than emotions. Our songs must engage more than emotions. The writer says this: Scripture encourages us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Songs that just stir the emotions are incomplete. Songs that do not begin from the depth of our soul are often trite. Songs that don't require us to think are shallow. And songs that don't ask us to use our, oh my God, songs that don't ask us to use our bodies as a living sacrifice in acts of service are selfish. So our songs must be sung from our entire being. That's good. It's got to be more than just emotion. Yeah, I don't want to just feel emotion when you sing. I want you to paint the picture. Pastor Bishop William Murphy was leading that song "Praises What I Do" back in the day. And when he got to that part of that song and when he said, my back's against the wall, when my back's against the wall, that's all I can do is pray. I literally saw myself in that same situation. What's the brother's name? Can I go here real quick? I know Facebook be trying to, you know, they be trying to ding us with all of the quickness for doing some stuff, but they gonna have to just catch me today. But I'm only gonna give y'all a little bit of it. But when Todd, y'all know who Todd, if y'all don't know who Todd Galbraith is when it comes to praise and worship, I need you to check yourself. But Todd Galbraith has a song called "Lord You Are Good." It ain't "Lord You're Good," the Israel Houghton joint that we wore out forever. But Todd Galbraith has this song called "Lord, You Are Good." I just want to give y'all a few seconds of it real quick. And I want you to hear the intro real quick. Listen to his intro. Hold on.
I was sitting in the kitchen and I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? I have all these responsibilities. All this going on, and it seems like I'm doing everything I can for you, and everything is just going opposite. Anybody ever been there where it seems like you were doing all you knew to do, and still you took 2 steps forward and you took 5 steps back, and you're saying, God, what in the world is going on? And I was sitting in my kitchen, and I didn't understand it, and then these words came. I said, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, cause
you've been... I got to lower it because they go on Facebook or be sending me a note in a minute. But just, did you hear how he introduced the song? Did you hear? He literally put us in at how many people have been sitting over the dishes in their kitchen trying to figure out how they was going to make their next move? Take yourself out the kitchen. How many of us have been sitting behind the wheel of our car wondering what are we going to do next? How many of us have been sitting at a desk at work or standing at work or wherever you do for a living? How many of us have been sitting there with that same mindset? What am I going to do next? But as the praise and worship leader said, he went in, even in the midst of what he said, he still said, Lord, you are good. It wasn't about the emotion. It was him taking us to where he was, and then moving us to talk about his God and how good his God still was, even though he was going through what he was going through. When we talk about hymns, when we talk about hymns in the church, and the meaning of the hymn, you can sing a song and it might not have the same feeling, right? The lyrics to Pass Me Not, right? The hymn. I'll read them. Just says, Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That's the lyrics, because, you know, we don't really sing the second and third verse. We don't, because, you know, some of y'all might know it. We really don't sing the second and third verse. The whole let me at the throne of thy mercy, we don't sing all that. But just reading the lyrics, you go, okay. And then if you're not a, you know, great singer, might not come out well. But when there is integrity in the song, when it's not just about the emotion, when you're singing a song, like the writer says, with your entire being, huh? With your entire being. Think about it. Think about it like this. Look, just catch this.
Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me.
Come on now.
Come on, if you're crying, tell us.
I'm crying.
Come on. Come on. You can't tell me. You can't tell me you don't want to give everything you got to God in that moment. That you don't want to push yourself beyond what you're used to, beyond your comfort zone, that you don't want to push yourself. My God, come on. Yeah. Yeah. It's something when it goes beyond emotion. When it goes beyond emotion, it takes you to another place. I know it's easy to get emotional in church, but let's not lose track for the reason why we're emotional. All right. Last one. Number seven. Number seven says, our songs must encourage action. Our songs must encourage action. The writer says this. Songs must not only inspire us through our hearing, but also challenge us in our doing. They must not only inform the congregation, but also engage them. Singing our songs should cause us to ask what is going to change as a result of singing them. Singing in here is not enough until our songs also impact who we are out there. Let me say that again. Singing in here is not enough until our songs also impact who we are out there. So the songs we sing in our worship service must lead us to acts of service as worship. Ooh, my God. My God. They should push you into some kind of action. They should push you into some kind of action, service, acts of service as worship. Like, push your worship into action. We talk about faith in action, right? What faith in action looks like. Faith in action means you take some steps out on faith. You put your faith in action. Let me ask you something. What does worship in action look like? Huh? Good evening. How you doing, Sister Knight? What does worship in action look like? What does it look like? Help me understand. What does worship in action look like? What does it look like? It can't be stagnant. It can't be complacent. It can't be average. It should be dynamic. It should be amazing. It should be beyond anything that looks normal. It should be your only focus, especially when you're in God's house. It can't just be, all right, I'm here. And I clap if they sing my song. All right, I'm here. All right, you know, it's gotta be so much more than that. The writer gives us a scripture at the end. He gives us Colossians 3 and 16 at the end. He gives us this scripture at the end. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. My God today. Huh? Come on now. Don't let that, don't sleep on that. Don't sleep on that message. Don't sleep on that message. I'll read it again. He says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can I give you the Message Bible? Where it says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Wow. Can it get any more plain than that? We ought to not take it lightly. We ought to not take it lightly. I've said this so many times. There are so many places in the world. There are so many places in the world worshiping freely is forbidden. That worshiping freely is forbidden. So many places in the world where you cannot worship freely. Where they have to sneak in worship, hide in worship, go way out somewhere and hope they don't get caught worshiping. And I know it's like, well, you being extreme. You taking it to the extreme when you, no, I'm not really. Because at any time, life's circumstances and situations can change. And either a government will come and tell you you can't worship, or your body will say you can't worship. How many people are laying in hospital beds right now wishing they could clap their hands together right now? Ah, see, those are the things that cross my mind. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Those are the things that cross my mind when it comes to worship. How many people are laid up in a bed right now wishing they could just tap their foot? How many people are laid up right now in a hospital room or in a room waiting to die, wishing that they had a chance to shout unto God right now? How many people? How many? How many folks are saying, oh, if I only had one more opportunity? And we take our opportunities for granted. No, I'm not saying you should praise the Lord like me. No, I'm not saying you should jump up and shout like me. I'm not saying none of that. I'm simply saying, when you think about how quick and swift and fleeting life is, and how people are leaving here on a daily basis, any opportunity you have in a corporate setting, because don't get me wrong, people that know me, you know, this one sitting over here on the other side knows me probably better than anybody in the world, other second to my mama only, will tell y'all, this is me all day 24/7. She'll tell y'all, this is me all day. And it's the calm version. Y'all kidding? Because I don't have to wait till Sunday. Let me, you know. I go hard on purpose because I went hard for other reasons. Gave my all. You know, and again, I'm not saying that to knock anybody. I'm not trying to guilt you into. I don't want to guilt ridden, goaded into praise, trick you into praising. I think your happiness and your glee and your expression on how happy you are with God and how you know how good He's been to you ought to come from a place inside of you. And now for me, I'm just trying to light the match. Huh? I ain't trying to cook the food for you, but I can set the fire. I can set a grill fire now. Huh? Watch out. If I could go there for a moment. If I'm going to use an analogy, I can set your grill fire where you ain't got to put no more charcoal on there and all your food going to be cooked. Huh? My job is just to set the fire. I ain't going to cook your food. Your job, my job is just to light it, just to be that little ignition. That's it. And let you figure out how your praise going to come forward. Sometimes folks just need a little spark. I can be a spark. I can be lighter fluid. But I can't be the fire for you. I can't be the fire for you. I can't be the fire that's in you either. That's got to come from God. That's got to come from God. Woo! My God. This was good, y'all. And watch out now. Guess what happened? We finished on time. We finished on time. This was good. This was good, y'all. I enjoyed this article. I did. Seven characteristics of songs that preach. This is good. Just so you know, this article actually came from a book, which for some reason I may have this book and didn't know that I had this book. But the original article, appeared in a book called David Manor, the writer, has a book called Better Sundays Begin on Monday. So the article Song That Preach is actually an excerpt from his book that Better Sundays Begin on Monday. 52 exercises for evaluating weekly worship. Wow. This is good. This is good. It's on, Better Sundays Begin on Monday. It's scheduled to be released next week on September 15th. Print and ebooks. Version copies are available now or at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I'm going on Amazon right now. And it is, Read With Our Free app. Ah, glory to God on the Kindle. Come through now, Holy Ghost. Guess who just got another book? Oh, I did buy this book. It says I purchased this book October 9th, 2020. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. I purchased this book October 9th, 2020. Oh, my God. This is, and again, these are the types of, I read three types of books. I like inspirational Christian books. I love books on praise and worship. Like, really. Like, I love books, that any book that has to do with praise and worship. I love books on praise and worship. And then I have a bunch of books that my mentors refer me to about preaching. I love books about preaching. Those are my three main books. No, I didn't mention none of my comic books because that's a whole other conversation. But those are the books that I read. Books on praise and worship, inspiring Christian books, and then books on preaching. You know, and writing sermons and things like that, those types of books. So anyway, y'all, this was good. This was good stuff, man. But again, you should get this book. Better Sundays. Begin on Monday. Better Sundays. Begin on Monday. This was good. This is good. Pat said, this is why it's important that the choice of music for service is made with both God and the congregation in mind. Well, sir, all righty then. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we had on today, God. We just want to say thank you, God, and bless your name. Lord God, we are just grateful, God, that you are a good God. Even when we aren't good, God, you are a good God. Even when we are good, we just want to say thank you, and bless your name, God. We recognize, God, that you are a God who, despite our disobedience, that continues to keep us and bless us, that continues to protect us, that continues to provide for us, that continues to pull us out of places that we get ourselves in, God. And for that, we say thank you. God, we recognize that you are just a good God. A mighty good God, and we bless your name on today. Now, God, as we leave this place for never yet, we continue to ask for traveling mercy and grace. Now, God, and for any who have not yet eaten their dinner for the night, I know it's a little late for dinner, but it's Friday. That's what we do. We're going to bless their food right now in Jesus' name. And, God, can we send up a special prayer that the Rib House have a few links left, maybe a handful of shrimp, and a few hot tips in Jesus' name. Huh? Glory. Amen. Come on, Todd, sing a little bit. Hey! That's it. That's good. This is good. Bless you. Y'all have a good night. Thank you, Sister Bernice Johnson, for watching. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Manisa. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you, Walter. Let's see. Who did I miss? Thank you, Peral, for tuning in. I don't even know how you got on here, but thank you. Let's see. Sister Pitt, God bless you. Elect Lady, God bless you. Sheldon, God bless you. Malia Stewart, God bless you. And all who maybe just been watching and didn't say nothing, God bless you. This thing is just rich. I can't praise you enough. Even if I try. Come on. But come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. We out of here, y'all. Y'all be sweet. Manisa Knight says, I love you with the love of God, and there's nothing you can do about it. I know that's right. What does the song say? So many doors you open. So many ways you made. Yes. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Come on! My. Yes! Come on! my God, today. Yes, God. Yes, God. My. Yes, God. And all he's done.
With your hands.